Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
When you have Romans chapter 8 and you're looking at verse number 12, I want you to say, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse number 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we lived after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither and the flower fadeth away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen and amen. We will attempt to speak and teach and talk from those verses of scripture that were read, but we'll actually yield to the Spirit and let him deal with us according to what God has already ordained from the beginning of time. Amen. I want to use for a thought this morning the blessing of being Spirit-led. It's a blessing to being Spirit-led. Many times we are led or persuaded by a lot of things. Sometimes we're persuaded or led by family. We are persuaded or led by influences from the outside of the family. We are influenced or persuaded or led by people that we have a relationship with, whether it's some friendships and stuff like that. But we should really seek to be led of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. It's very important, especially parents, it's very important that you be led of the Spirit, because God has entrusted you with a precious commodity in your children. And you have to know that God is holding you accountable on how you raise them up, because he's giving you leadership by his Holy Spirit to be able to cultivate that individual, and it's not someone else's responsibility to do it. Amen. It's not their responsibility to teach them. It's your responsibility to teach them, because the scripture says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he shall not what? Depart from it. Now, we need to take that responsibility and do it. Amen. We need to first off be led of the Spirit, but if you're not led of the Spirit, you'll teach them the wrong things. And sometimes we unknowingly teach them stuff because they don't just do what you say. They do what you do. Amen. And so if we're going to be leaders in our homes, we got to know how to lead. Amen. And in order for us to know how to lead, we really have to follow the leader, who is the Holy Spirit of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, the Bible says, in all truth. Amen. And so I'm here today to be led of the Spirit to tell you what is the truth. Amen. And so when we are being Spirit-led, and as I said, you have to, as parents, we are saying we're leaders of our homes, but we got to be careful of how and who we allow to put in part into our children. Amen. Amen. Anyway, I don't even know how I got here. That's not on the paper. But we have to be careful who we let impart. Yes, sir. Amen. Because once they begin to impart, they begin to partake in something that may not be something you approve of. And this may be something that is not something that God approves of, because you are led of God to be able to raise that child. Amen. Come on now. Come on. And so when we are spirit-led, we're led of the Spirit. And you know what? And when I was young, you know what? God, our parents would not, you know, with some people, they would basically choose your friends. They'll basically tell you who you could hang out with and who you couldn't, because they were led of the Spirit. Amen. Because they knew if you were hanging out with a certain group, then you'll find yourself in trouble. Amen. Because of what they imparted in you made you a partaker of trouble. Come on and say amen. Well, let me leave that alone. Y'all don't want to hear that part. But when we look at being spirit-led, we are led of a lot of things, but we sometimes led of our thoughts, and sometimes our thoughts come from the devil. And we defend those things that we sometimes think that we think that's our thoughts. Well, I thought about that. No, you know, the devil talked to you about it. And guess what? You came up with this wrong conception of something, and now you want to try to make it fit your life. Amen. Or sometimes we have a thought based on what somebody else has said. I remember a guy said he was a bishop, and he said he no longer believed in hell because of something somebody said that provoked him to think about something. And he said, I no longer believe in hell. I don't believe that there is a hell. But let me tell you what hell really is. Hell is the absence of God. Amen. So when you die, if you're not in the presence of God, you're absent from God. That's hell, let me tell you. Amen. So when we're spirit-led, then we don't walk in the ways of darkness, and we don't approve of dark things, but we walk in the way of light, and we walk in a way that we would like to please God. Know this, that nobody just wakes up and intend on saying, well, you know, I'm just going to go out and be evil because I want to be evil. They begin to grow into that by what they're being led by. No child is born and the child says, you know, I want to grow up to be an evil man. It is what they are led by. And so we need to be led by the Spirit if we want to become what God wants us to be. If we want to fulfill the purpose of God for our life, then we have to be led by God himself. And God himself is the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of the Trinity. Amen. Amen. So when we look at this and we look at Romans, the Bible says in the book of Romans is, I like to call it Paul's gospel. Because if you read the book of Romans, it tells you so much. It tells you how we got here. It tells you where we are. It tells you your position in Christ. It talks to you. And the book of Romans, Paul wrote it, and you can read that, and you can become saved and understand what salvation is if you can read and understand the book of Romans. I believe that every Christian should read that book, and they should learn it. They should understand it, because it is helpful for yourself, for you and yourself and your salvation to know what God says about you. Amen. And so when we get to chapter 8 begins by talking about that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ, that are in Christ, that walk not after the flesh, but after the what? Spirit. Chapter 8, verse 1 talks about that. And so we should not be condemned about anything, amen, once we walk after the Spirit of God. And it goes on to tell us that in verse 2, that the law of the Spirit of life, we got to understand that there is a law written about you in the Spirit of life. And so you can't die if you walk in the Spirit. Amen. Death can't even touch you. Amen. If you walk in the Spirit, because you have eternal life. But then we go on and we'll find out. Let me read it in verse, I think it's verse number 6. He says that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, what's he saying here? Let me give it to you in layman's terms. He's saying your mind will kill you. Your mind will kill you. He said to be carnally minded. If your mind is carnal, then nothing will happen in your life except death. There'll be no life. Come on and say amen. In other words, we can kill ourselves by the way we think. Stinking thinking. Come on and say hallelujah. We have to learn how to change. And that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, he tells us that we need to have our minds what renewed. He tells us that be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. And so you got to get your mind right. He said, let this mind be in you that is in what? In Christ Jesus. We need to have the mind of Christ in order for us to have life, because our carnality, our carnal mind, the way we think in carnality will cause us to die. But he said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I can walk in peace because I live in peace, because I walk by the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. I have life because I'm led by the Spirit of God. Come on and say amen. And so he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so in other words, your mind don't want to obey what God says. When your mind is like that, you don't really want to obey what God says, then he says that's a carnal mind. He said it is a rebel against what God wants done. And so you can't do what you really would do, or you should do, because your mind don't think the right things. Now, you got to understand something. The reason why it's important for you to get your mind right is because your mind is part of your soul. Preach. Your mind is part of your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Amen? And so since your soul, your mind is part of your soul, you need to get your mind right. If your mind's not right, that means your soul's not right. Preach anyway. So if your soul's not right, then that means that your soul may not be saved, because you don't have a right thinking. You don't have the mind of Christ. You don't have a mind that God can approve. That makes you have what they call a reprobate mind. Preach anyway. And what that means is that you got a mind that God can't approve, that God don't like. And so if God don't like it, he can't approve it. He don't allow it in his kingdom. Preach anyway. Help me, Holy Ghost. And so it's a blessing for us to be Spirit-led, because as we grow, as we go, as we learn to be Spirit-led, then we find out that God gives us peace, and he gives us what? Life as we go. And so you don't fear for your life, because you got peace. And you know what? Perfect love. You understand that God has given you that love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Now, let me get down to what I'm really trying to get to, the meat of what God has given me today. And he begins to tell them, even in the same chapter, he tells us how Jesus Christ, how he died, but he was raised up, and how that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. In other words, he'll give you life too. So he's saying that the power of God, the same power that was with Jesus on the day that he resurrected, can be with you. Now, isn't that power? That's some power that you really ought to seek to experience, because that's a power like no other. That's a power the government can't give you. That's a power your friend, your lover, your boo can't give you. Come on and say amen. And so we need to see that the power of God will rest upon us and be with us if we learn how to walk in the Spirit and to be led of him. Now, verse 12 says this, therefore. So he's telling us what therefore is therefore. He's telling us that we can have the power of God with us. He's telling us that we can't have a carnal mind. He's telling us that we should not be condemned. He's telling us that we should walk in the Spirit and fulfill the things of the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? And so he says in verse 12, he says, therefore, brethren. And so the word brethren means them that are born of the same womb. And so those that have been born again, come on and say hallelujah. He said, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. He says the first thing that we need to understand, the blessing of being Spirit-led, is that our actions change. I wish I had somebody. He says that if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I'm new today. Amen. I'm new. And so my mind is changed, and I don't think the way I used to. I don't act the way I used to. I have some different actions. And so he's saying that he's reminding us of our obligation to the Spirit of God. Amen. He says that our debt is not to the flesh to live after the flesh. He's saying, look, you should not be looking at what you can do for your flesh. You don't owe your flesh anything, because all your flesh has ever given you is death. Oh, come on and say amen. All your flesh has ever given you is trouble. All the trouble you had is always in your flesh. All the pain you have is in your flesh. All the aggravation comes from flesh. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So the actions we must take is that he's saying we must have an obligation to walk and follow the Spirit. We should have an obligation to follow the Spirit. In other words, we should have an obligation to do what the Spirit wants us to do. And sometimes we want to do what we want to do because of our flesh. That means that we got some more killing to do. Oh Lord, help me today. You know, we gotta be like Moses. We gotta kill some things. Amen. We gotta kill that which is oppressing us. We gotta kill the flesh. And so he says that you gotta mortify the deeds of the flesh. That word mortify really means to put to death. The deeds of the flesh. I need to put it to death. And when something dies, it's no longer present. When something dies, it's no longer effective. Amen. So what I'm saying here today is that when we are spirit led, whatever the flesh wants is no longer effective over me. Even though I may have an urge here and there to walk in the flesh, it still is not effective because I put it to death. I kill that, amen? In other words, I nip that in the bud. Before I get to start thinking about it and meditating on it and wanting to do it, talking about it, I nip it in the bud. I said, nope, that got to die. I can't let that live because if it lives, I have to die. Help me, Holy Ghost. Am I helping anybody today? I'm helping myself if nothing else. Amen. And so when we look at the deeds of the flesh, let me see here. We got to look at what it says about the flesh in Galatians, the Galatians 5 and 17. He says in Galatians 5 and 17, he starts to tell us, he says, for the flesh lusted against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other so that ye cannot do the things which you would. And so he's saying the stuff that you really should do that God is leading you to do, you can't do it because the flesh is working against you to keep you from doing it. So what that tells me is that God has some stuff in store for me, but if I walk in the flesh, I can't have them because I'm not doing what God said do to get to where I need to be to get what God has for me. It's going to be all right, lady. Y'all can say amen. So I need to get to a place that I'm being led of the Spirit. He said that the Spirit lusted, he works against, the flesh lusted, works against the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh, they don't work together. They work against each other. But we got to feed the Spirit, man, the Word of God, so he can become stronger than the flesh. Boy, we feed the flesh. You know, I like to eat good stuff. I love sometimes to eat good things. Amen. I don't eat off the dollar menu at Burger King or McDonald's, whatever it is. I don't even go to, I ain't been to McDonald's in about a year or two. I don't eat off the dollar menu. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, but that's up to you. But what I'm saying is that if I feed my flesh man good, shouldn't my spirit man eat good too? And so I'm going to eat that spiritual food that makes my flesh, my spirit man stronger and my fleshly man weaker than the spirit, so my spirit can tell me what I need to do. Oh, my God. And so he says, but if you be led of the Spirit, this is verse 18 in Galatians 5, verse 18, but you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And so the law calls for death. And he's saying that you're not condemned to be under the law. You can't die if you walk in the Spirit. Wow, look at that. And so he said, now the works of the flesh are manifested. He began to tell us what they are. He said, look, which of these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. He said, all of this. He said, these are the works of the flesh. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. In other words, he's saying, look, he said, this stuff, when you hate people, when you strive against folks, and you're always contentious, then you walking in the flesh. You're not walking in the Spirit. The Bible says that if we are do with everything in us, be at peace with all men. And if we always got something going on, we always conspiring, we always trying to be slick and always trying to get our way by manipulation and stuff like that, that's works of the flesh. You got to kill that one in order for you to get. You remember Jacob? The Bible says that as long as he was Jacob, which means a supplanter, which means a trickster, and I don't know how I got here, but I'm here, which means a trickster, a supplanter. It means that he's a heel catcher. If you're a person that every time somebody try to do something, you're tripping them up, you're catching their heel, you're holding them back, come on, so that you can get out first, so that you can have what you need first, and you never put anybody before you, and you're always self-centered, come on and say, man, then guess what? You're not fulfilling the Spirit. You're not fulfilling the law of the Spirit, but you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. But until his name changed from being Jacob, which was a supplanter, in other words, what Jacob did, he was one, what that means is that he was a squatter. And wherever he squatted at, it wasn't his to begin with, but he took it because he was a squatter. Oh, come on and say amen. The devil's a squatter too, because you don't belong to him, but he tried to own you. Help me, Holy Ghost. So he changed his name to Israel, and when he became Israel, he got everything that God had in store for him. As long as he was Jacob, he was tricking people and being tricked. But when he became Israel, he met God. He was able to go to Esau. Esau forgave him. He was able to increase and get the land that God had in store for them once he changed. Help me, Holy Ghost. He says, still in Galatians, he says, adultery, witchcraft, variance, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, such like. He said, I told you before in times past, he said, these things, he said, those that commit these things, he said, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, you can't inherit the kingdom of God if you walk this way. You got to put this stuff aside, amen. You got to take this stuff off, hallelujah. And so we need to get back to the place where we start to look at, I want to walk by the Spirit of God. I don't have hate, and I don't have jealousy. I don't have envy. I ain't conniving, amen. But I want to do the things that God wants me to do. I'm not underhanded, amen. I'm straightforward. I'll let you know how I feel about you. Amen. Amen. I was talking to somebody the other day about a situation, and I said, you know, and they was telling me it was a little confusion going on. And I said, but you know what? I'm one of those people. I don't have a problem telling you if I got an issue, because I want to clear it up to begin with. I'm not coming to confront you first off to fight you, but I'm coming to clear it up. Now, I'm going to come to you and talk to you about it. And so we need to make sure that that's what our mission is, to clear it up. And so if you keep holding it and you don't talk to nobody about it, then it becomes a real issue in you, because bitterness begin to grow, hatred begin to grow, and you're giving the devil an opportunity to rule in that situation. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Al Holden. And so he says now in verse 13, he says, but if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. He said, if you kill it now, you'll live again. But if you fail to kill it, it's going to kill you. Oh, Lord. If you know it's got some things in your life that is destructive, you need to go ahead and kill it. Amen. And I'm not saying your killing days will stop just because you did it one day. But as you grow, as you go through stuff, as you meet people, they'll draw stuff out of you you thought you had gotten over. And then you got to kill some more. You got to keep killing. You think that you thought Leroy and you was dead. You know, that was your name back in the day. But no, he's still alive, because when that girl walked by, now you got to kill him. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. See, you got, if you keep killing, Jesus will keep getting you off. All right. Yeah, I don't want to hear this morning. We have to take some action. I'm going to get to the good part where you can shout. This part here don't feel good. It hurts. But that's what we need. Bring the power back to the church. We have to kill some stuff. Hallelujah. You know, we got to get past trying to, you know, bring the world in the church and satisfy people by bringing the world here so that they'll be comfortable. Yeah. I'd rather you be uncomfortable if you're part of the world, so that you become part of the kingdom and then become comfortable in the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Because we try to appease people so much, you know, by offering them what the world is offering. I'm not going to offer you what the world. I mean, why even come out of the world if I'm giving you the same thing in the church? If I'm giving you the same thing, if I'm turning up with you in the church, oh, I ain't going to go there. Let me stop. Preach. Say preach, Carl. All right. Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. If we're led of the Spirit, we have to understand, first, take action. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Secondly, we have to understand that we got access. What that means is that if we're led of the Spirit of God, he not only just leads us in our daily activity, but he leads us into the presence of God. He leads us to the place where God's glory is. He leads us to a place of victory. He leads us to a place of deliverance. Come on and say amen. And so if he's leading me, I'll follow him, because he's bringing me to all the places I need to be. And so he's leading me, giving me access. And what I mean is that now I'm a son. And he's given me sonship, and sonship means that I have inheritance. It means I have an unlimited access. I have an unlimited access to God, that whatever I need, because I'm a son, he'll give it to me. So how many of you have children and they can't access your room? They get, come on and say amen. You know how it is, and I'm going to say this. You know, you can be in the bathroom taking your time, and if you lock the door, they wonder why you locked them out. Come on, you got children. You've been there. They wonder why you walking. They walk in the bathroom. You say, oh, my goodness, I can't take a break, because they got access to everything you got access to. You get up fussing about your Twinkies and your cookies because they ate them in the middle of the night. They were up eating stuff while you were asleep, and they had access to it because they're your children. Am I right? They eat that. You get up, you had a whole jug of juice. You got up the next morning, the juice had that much in it. And you fussing because your mouth was fixed for it. But they had access to it because they were your children. So all I'm saying is that when you become a son, when you become a child of God, a son of God, and that sonship has nothing to do with gender, because remember what Jesus said? The Pharisees tried to trip him up. They said, Jesus, if a woman been married 7 times, whose wife would she be in the resurrection? And Jesus said, nobody's, because they are not given to marriage in that day, whenever we come back in the resurrection. He says that they'll be as the angels. In other words, there's no gender there, but you're a spirit being. And so we have to understand that when you're a son, when you're a son of God, you can be male or female, but you got an inheritance from God. That's what that means. You have an inheritance, and you have an access to God that not everybody has. See, the Bible tells us that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. I want him more than just to reign on me. I want him to reign in me. I want him to live inside of me. I want to be so close to him, I know what he's thinking and what he's feeling. I want to know what he wants me to do and when he wants me to do it. I want to be so close to him that I can hear his voice, that when I go down the corner, he said, don't turn there, keep right, keep straight, turn right, turn left. I want him to be able to guide me in my way, in the path that he has chosen for me. I don't want to live life through trial and error and try to get experiences and see, yeah, well, I'm growing because of my experience. I'm okay with that, but as long as it's God leading me, I'll take it. Amen. But when it's something I don't have to go through, you know how you try to tell somebody something and you say, look like they just won't listen. They just got to get some hard licks in order for them to understand. When you're trying to guide them and tell them right and tell them what they should do and they don't want to listen, you know, I don't think that's necessary. That's an unnecessary bump on the head. But when God is guiding you, you need to listen to what God has to say, because you have access to stuff that, to God, that people, other folks don't have access to. I got access to God. So why am I worried about healing since I got access to healing? Preach anyway. I got access to God, so why am I worried about who's going to save me from this, who's going to deliver me, who's going to help me, when Jesus is my help? I lift my eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help, for my help comes from the Lord. Am I preaching all right? Are you ready to go a little higher? Amen. I have access to God. I have unlimited access. And so when I have a need, I have an access to God that he said that he'll supply all my need according to his riches and glory. That's in Philippians. He tells us this. And so when I have access, because I'm a son, I can get whatever the Father has for me. Amen. We got to know something. The Father, he wants to bless us. The Bible said it pleases the Father to give us the kingdom. I wish I had a few people that understood that. And so what does that mean? That means that if you look at your child and you say, man, I sure want to give my child a better life than I had. I want to give them everything that they need. How many of us, we working just so that we can have stuff? We're not looking for our children to be blessed. I don't think I see a hand in the house. So we're all trying to get something better so that we can hand something off to our children. Come on and say hallelujah. And so when we hand it off to our children, they can look around and say, I got something more than my parents had, and they'll have a little more that they can hand off to their children. Come on and say amen. He said, a good father lay up an inheritance for his son. And